Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
But it's going to be a special weekend. We're going to talk about prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. This is where my ministry began, as I mentioned before. Lord, teach me to pray. And if it had a special text, and it does, it would be Luke 11, verse 1. And you just look at it, you probably know this text already, or you're going to when we do this the second time. Now let me say something too, and I want to make you mad here at the very beginning, and that is, come tomorrow morning when you're not used to coming. And that means for Sabbath school. But tomorrow morning, come to the meeting. It's called The Secret of Answered Prayer. And it's not just a jingle. It will, by God's grace, change the way you prayed. It has for me. And I'm telling you, just do whatever it takes. In other words, if you get up late, too late to come to Sabbath school, set your alarm for 5 o'clock. Just be here. Just be here. I mean it. People will say, oh, we'll come, and they don't show up. So that's no good. We want to have a blessing, don't we? Absolutely. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, what? Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I can't imagine that the disciples hadn't prayed. Of course they prayed. But they hadn't prayed like he prayed, and that's what they wanted to know. And it wasn't some kind of little poetry or jingle. It was a special something that he prayed, and they said, we want to pray like that. You know, it's interesting the things we pray about when we get sick. Now, don't misunderstand the illustrations I'm going to use, because they're important. When we get sick, we pray. That's good. We get sick, we pray. And that's good. We get well, what happened? Come on, don't pray. You got it. In fact, to make things worse, sometimes we'll pray to get well, and when we get well, we'll say, you know, I got such a good doctor. You know, I took a medicine that's really good. You ought to try it someday. Come on. If we're going to pray that God will make us well, then when we get well, give him at least the glory for what's happened. We might have nice hospitals and medicines and doctors, but let's give glory to God and thanks to him. Now, you know, we have a tremendous problem across the country, and Michigan is probably one of the main places where we need work. And I'm repeating. We pray for work. Oh, God, help me to find a job. Get the job, and what happened? Too often, God plays out, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing now and how much I make. It's so interesting. We were noticing the cornfields. And in certain parts of the country, the places dried out. I was out in Missouri here a while back, and it was just dry and ugly. And we pray for rain. But all I'm saying is this. If we're going to pray for rain, let's be consistent. Prayer should be a habit, but it shouldn't just get to be a routine. You know, I was reading about prayer. Somebody said that so often, even in church, Brother so-and-so, would you offer the opening prayer? You can just about predict what he's going to say. Because we pray the same prayers all the time, right or wrong. You know, Jesus taught his disciples before it was over to pray. Prayer is simply talking to God. Now, I remember I mentioned before, he's trying to talk to us. But prayer is the way we talk to him. Who prays? Everybody prays sooner or later. When I say everybody, most everybody. I heard a story about a person, I don't know where this happened, he worked in paper mills, and where they grind up the pine or whatever they use, and they have these choppers. I've never been in the mill, But this atheist, and you know what an atheist is? Anyway, of course, this atheist was working. He got near the machine. He tripped and he fell into it. And the last words were, "God save me," atheist. Who was it that said, I was reading about it this week, there's no atheist in a foxhole in the Second World War? You remember Pharaoh when they were having the plague? He prayed. Now, he really didn't pray, but he requested prayer because he said, "Moses, pray for me." But the point I want to make is just because we pray doesn't mean we're on God's side. You know, people pray for different reasons. I don't know how many times it's happened, but it's probably happened to you. Supposing that you're talking with somebody and you get into a little argument. And pretty soon the person says, "I got to go. But before we go, let's have a word of prayer." And you're thinking to yourself, "I'd rather not." You know what I'm saying? It's just not, it's the atmosphere is not right. And so now you've had even this happen to you. "Before we go, let's have a word of prayer." And you bow your head, and the other brother or sister says, "And so, Lord, help Dick to realize that I'm right and he's wrong." Hasn't something like that happened? No, it's not exactly those words, but that's the feeling you get. That's the feeling you get. You feel like they're using prayer against you. I heard the story one time about, well, it wasn't a story. It happened to me while we were talking about prayer and how important it was. And there was a man walking out the door of the church, and one of the church members said to me, see him? He prays all the time, and he's mean." And I thought to myself, "No, come on, don't say that. If he's mean, he may be faking prayer. Because people who are mean really don't pray. Prayer will drive out meanness, but meanness will drive out prayer. You see, I'm more and more convinced that the purpose of prayer is to let the Holy Spirit in. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, then there's a lot of stuff that's got to go out. And when we are praying, unless our lives are being changed, we're not praying. Call it what you want. I made up what I'm about to say. There's two kinds of prayer. One is what I call a true prayer. Now I'm going to ask you which prayer we usually do. The first true prayer, I call it, is the prayer that seeks to know God's will and glorify his name. Got that? Two kinds of prayer. The first one, know God's will and glorify his name. The second one I call the false prayer, exploits God for our own purposes and tries to impose our will on him. Which prayer do we usually pray? Come on. I would say we tend to pray the second one. In fact, I may mention it this weekend, but we say, "Thy will be done." I don't think we mean that. I don't think we mean that. That means your will be done as long as it's my will. And when you think of who he is, the one who created the universe. Have you seen the pictures of this Hubble telescope? I look at that and it just takes my breath away, these beautiful constellations. And to think that we will tell him what to do. Now, it's one thing to express our desires, but here's what I think. Could you ever want something for your life better than God wants for you? The problem is that we pray short term. And he sees long term. And that's really important for us to realize. That's why when we say, "Thy will be done," we should mean that, because if we'll say that, we're going to, in the long run, have a bigger blessing or benefit than our prayer would ever get. I think that's critical. Thy will be done. In fact, the purpose of prayer, I believe, is to know the will of God. And another purpose of prayer is to ask Him for the spiritual strength to do that will. I want to ask you some questions, Tony. I'm going to ask you some personal questions. Do you mind? Tony, have you ever been saying your prayer before you go to bed? You're kneeling by the bed and have to wake yourself up to say amen? You have? Have you? Sure, we all have done that. My land. I remember once I was having lunch, and I got about half mile through my way through the lunch, and I thought, did I say the blessing? Yeah, I did. No, I don't think I did. Of course I did. Well, what did I say? I don't remember. So what did I do? I prayed again just in case. I was talking to a lady who worked for the telephone company. And back in those days, she was the receptionist or something. And she went home to have lunch, and, you know, she bowed her head and said, "Hello, telephone company." But you know what? Listen, prayer should be a habit, right? It must be a habit. But what's happened to us, if you're like me and Tony, it becomes a routine. And we go so far as to say, "I don't think God hears my prayers." Right. Who doesn't listen so many times? I was talking to a fella, and he said, "I don't know what to pray. Every day. Every day." So I just close my eyes and say, "Same as yesterday." But you know what I'm saying? And this comes from our reticence or whatever it is to not want to talk to God about real things. Because there's certain things we'd rather not talk to God about. We want to keep Him in the dark. Some of you have heard me tell this story before because I put it in books and in every place else. Do you mind if I tell it again? But this story happened back when I was 5 years old. There are four of us children. My sister Dana, now this takes math. Anybody can do a little math here for me? I'll ask this guy, can you do a little arithmetic? Go give it a try. Okay, I was five. My sister Dana is 3 years younger than I. So when I was five, here goes, how old was she? Somebody help him. Two, that's right. And so this story happened when Dana was 2 years old and I was five. We were playing one day outside where the neighborhood child was out there. She was two, and so we're playing outside with a neighborhood child. And mother says it's time to eat. And so with the neighborhood child, we went in the house and sat around the table. And by the way, I asked my mother when she was living, I said, "Does that story I tell, is it true?" You know, it happened a long time. She said, "It's true." So we're sitting around the table, and mother says to Dana, who was two, "Dana, would you say the prayer?" We bow our head, and Dana says, "Tita Poota Pan." Did you get it? Let me slow it down a little. Tita Poota Pan. Let me slow it down again. Tita Poota Pan. Well, give me one more chance. Dear Jesus, bless the food. Amen. But you see what happened? Listen, when I first started telling this story, people said to me, "That's me. That's me. That's where I'm at now in my prayer life. Tita Poota Pan." I don't think God answers my prayer. Really? Dita Buddha Pan? You know where I'm coming? I'm just talking about us. If you're not in this loop, then that's really special. But I find myself so many times to praying and sailing off and really never get back. And anyway, that's why we're going to have the talk this weekend about prayer. The revival will be about prayer because that's where we hook up. That's where we hook up with God, especially tomorrow. Don't miss that in the morning. The secret of answered prayer. It'll change the way you pray. I was 26, and I got married when I was 19. I robbed the cradle. Anyway, when we got on the ship in the port of New York 2 days before Christmas, it was really cold. We got on a freighter with all of our boxes of everything we had and went to the port of Karachi in Pakistan. Now, I want to tell you this. In those days, I wasn't afraid, but I would not take my blue eyes to Pakistan these days. You know what I'm saying? Our crowd doesn't look right over there. But anyway, in those days, I had three little children. We went 1 month on that boat and never got seasick. Never got seasick. Anyway, so I went to school. I went to teach at a school at our seminary. Originally, I was going to be the chaplain of the Karachi Hospital. But just when I was about to go be the chaplain, our teacher and pastor up near Lahore was shot. And let me just take a minute and tell you the story. It was in the middle of the night. And in the bedroom of the house where we later moved into, it had no windows. Have you ever heard the word bungalow? Bungalows were built over there where they had long roofs. And they would build that to keep the sun from hitting the side of the house. You got the picture? Remember those big long roofs? And they would have this kind of verandas. I think veranda comes out of that too. So as they wanted to enlarge their house, they would then close in the veranda, right, which would then box the house in, which means the bedroom is all boxed in there with just a door. Anyway, the ventilation was a trap door, I don't know of a better name for it, up in the ceiling. And the ceiling's over there really high, so the heat can go up there. And anyway, the trap door, and you open this trap door by pulling on a rope. So anyway, what had happened is he and his wife, the bed was right under that skylight, the word for it, right under the skylight. And one night they heard somebody tinkering around at the skylight, raising it up. And so they knew it was a thief, that person meant no good. So they made a mistake, and that was they began to chase him. They didn't know he had a gun. Burglars didn't have guns when they first went over there, and they had a gun themselves, and then he had a gun, which they didn't know it. It was pitch black. The missionary had a flashlight. Anyway, they began to chase him. A shot was fired, and the missionary went down on the ground. And then they went to him there, and he looked like he was dead, but thank God he wasn't. But a bullet had gone up his nose. I mean, up the nostril, and had gotten in the back of his brain, and he was a quadriplegic for 40 years. And I want to say this because, you know, I don't think we think about the lives that were lost while this church was beginning the mission around the world. I was talking with a doctor from Africa, and he talked about how his wife had died. He dug a hole, threw her in the hole, and had to throw the dirt. Now, that sounds awful, but I'm saying, what a sacrifice. Little children buried all over the place. That was the sacrifice these people meant. They didn't fly in or take or do a mission trip like some of the churches do. You know, they go down for 2 weeks, 1 week for tourists and the other week for... Anyway, it's wonderful that they go down. Anyway, I went up to take his place. Had the three little children. Anyway, that summer, they called me to go to East Pakistan. When India got its independence, the Muslims said, the Hindus are going to choke us out. So we want our own country, which they put on both sides, West Pakistan and East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh. Anyway, I was supposed to go over to Bangladesh and teach a summer school for the pastors and the teachers. And I can't believe they asked me to do it as I was such a young minister. You know, when I had my first church as a young minister, I was, 22? And one Sabbath, the elder came to me and he said, Pastor O'Phill, scripture is being fulfilled before our very eyes. I said, what do you mean by that, Brother Hurley? The Bible says a little child shall lead them. Anyway, there I was as a very young man in Bangladesh. Now, Bangladesh is Muslim. But in that patch where the school was at Jalapar in those days, it was Hindu. And I want to tell you this. If you think that this planet is Christian, think again. As Christians, we're just a little bit of this planet. Just think that they're saying that there's a billion Muslims. There's another billion Hindus. Then there's however many Buddhists and Shintos and everything else. And the devil's just about got this planet. Are you aware of that? He just about got it. And so there we were out there in the middle of nowhere. I say the middle of nowhere. We had to go down on a boat, sleeping on top of a boat. But there it was in the middle of nowhere. And I was supposed to teach every morning during the week, starting about 7 till noon, and then from 3 o'clock till 5. And anyway, that's what I was doing. On a particular day, oh, by the way, I would take a nap during that little break, even though I was only about 27. You know what happened that day I was taking that nap? It rained. Have you ever did that, take a nap when it rains? You have? It makes the nap nice. Can you put yourself into a nap like that with a pitter, 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 pitter? Can you? You got the feel for that? And in this case, there was thunder way off, boom. Pitter, 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 pitter. Are you feeling sleepy? You know, I mean, you've done that before. And that's the way it was happening that day. It was just that rain and the lightning way off in the distance. There was a knock. There was a knock at the door. And I went to the door, and there was those pastor teachers. And they said, Pastor O'Phill, there's a lady out at the gate of the school, and she said that the devil is about to kill her daughter. See if you can do something about it. Now, I had heard stories like that before, in the mission story, Sabbath school. Remember those stories where they had the demon possession? Now, I'm going to use the word magic words. I shouldn't use these words, but there's certain words you use to cast out demons, a certain prayer you pray. Do you remember those words? In the name of, we ask the evil spirits to depart. In other words, that's what it amounts to. In the name of Jesus, we command the evil spirits to depart. And so I knew that in this situation, that's what we were going to do. But let me give you a background of the family. The family was an Adventist family. They had lots of children. And they were really poor, really poor. One of the daughters, who I would guess would be 13 or 14, had become sick. And remember I told you, they were out in the middle of nowhere, so you don't go to a hospital or call an ambulance. They just tried in kind of homemade ways to help her to get well. And she wasn't getting well. One person said, why don't you go take her to the Hindu, I don't know what the word is, priest. And maybe he can help. Now, let me say this. Mark this down. They knew they shouldn't go. They knew that. But they decided to go anyway. Sometimes when we get into problems in our lives, what we do is worse than what we had. Understand that. Sometimes we think, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but we do it anyway. And that's what happened to them. They knew they shouldn't go to that Hindu priest, but they went anyway. And he said she'd get well if they would pay, let's call it 1 pound of sugar for each pound of her body weight. She wasn't that big. But anyway, they said they would, and she got well. But they didn't pay. Too poor. Who knows how long it was, a couple of weeks, I understood it. They were, she was over at her uncle's, and with her little cousins, they went to the well to get water. Now, I don't mean water, I mean the pulling it out of the ground. And as they were pulling water out of the ground comes this demon. And the demon says, you owe me, and if you don't pay, I'm going to kill you. And of course, the little thing begins to cry hysterically, and she goes home and says, Mommy, Daddy, you got to do something. They're going to kill me. Too poor. What can they do about it? And so that day that I was taking that nap, she had been walking along beside the river, and out of the bushes comes this thing, this demon. And the demon says, you owe me, you didn't pay, now I'm going to kill you. And down she goes, flat on the ground, in a coma, the point of death. And now the mother's there saying, do something for my daughter, the devil is going to kill her. Now put yourself in my place. I had heard stories like this in the mission stories. You know how you heard them, didn't you? You've heard stories like this. And so I thought to myself, fellas, I thought, I'm going to make a checklist. Now, I don't want to say that you women would have a recipe. So I thought, I'll make a checklist, and what I'm going to do is put together everything that people do when this happens. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I knew that we were going to have the prayer, the exorcism. And what are the words? In the name of, we ask the command the evil spirits to depart. So I'm going to put together a list. So the first thing I thought of, that you got to take your Bible with you. Isn't that right? Because I thought the devil would be afraid of the Bible. Just kind of come into that Bible. I didn't know until later that in Sri Lanka, a lady was having a trouble with a demon. Somebody said, put your Bible under the pillow. It'll keep you safe. She did. She woke up the next day and the Bible had been ripped to shreds. But anyway, I took the Bible. First check. Then what are we going to do? What are we going to do next? Pray, of course. But in this case, I had it in my mind that if you went to cast out demons and you had unforgiven sin. Now, you see how mechanical I was doing this? Mechanical. Now we're going to have a prayer. What about that the Lord will forgive us of our sins? Because if you don't, if you have sins, outstanding sins, he says them out loud in front of everybody. So we made our little circle and we prayed that the Lord would forgive our sins. What now? I couldn't think of anything to do. It was time to go to her place. She didn't live very far away. And I can hardly describe the house. I'm using the word house, and you think of house. But don't think of that as being a house. I think it was made of bamboo or something, or reeds or something like that. It didn't look like what we're looking at. But anyway, as I came up to the house, you could hear loud wailing. You know what I mean, wailing? Remember when Jesus went to that place and the little girl was dead and they were wailing, you know? And that must have been something like that. And so you can imagine when you're trying to be there and they're wailing. So I said something to somebody through the translator, and whoever was wailing stopped wailing. Now the only thing I could hear was dogs barking in the distance. Well, I went over, and I can still see her. She was wearing a green sari. You know how the Indian women wear these saris? And so she was wearing this sari. She was laying by the front door, and I can still see her with her arms crossed across her chest like this, unconscious. And I remember kind of getting down like this, and someone said, "You want to hear her talk?" I said, "How's that?" They said, "When we get a special little leaf mixture, put it under her nose, she talks." I said, "I don't want to hear her talk." "Why?" "Because you could be talking to the demons." Now, what I did next, I wouldn't do anymore. You know what I was trying to do? I didn't want to leave anything out. So I did a little what I'm going to call pastoral counseling. I asked the parents to come, and I told them they shouldn't have made that deal with the devil. Obviously. I wouldn't do that again. You know, when a person's in big trouble, that's not the time to remonstrate with them. That's the wrong time. In fact, to use an illustration, you know, when your grandson, or your the little person or your children, they're walking along, they're carrying something that could break, and they say, "Be careful." I said, "This crash." "I didn't you hear what I said? I said not to do that." Don't we tend to do that? Help them clean it up. Don't you think we ought to do that? In other words, before we work them over and tell them, just help them clean it up. Sometimes I've even thought to myself, I was telling somebody on the airplane today, I said, you know when we fight with our wives, it makes it, in other words, a problem comes up, you fight with your wife, does it make the problem better or worse? If we've got something to work out with our children or with our spouses, wait till the problem passes, do it later. But then you can say, well, if I do it later, it's no problem anymore. I'd rather fight here while I'm feeling it. Isn't that right? And so I wouldn't do that again. There's a time to talk. There's a time to keep your mouth shut. You know, when you get old like me, you learn that. Anyway, I did that. Time to pray. What are the magic words? In the name of Jesus, we command the evil spirits to depart. Formed our little half circle around her. First pastor, teacher on this side, prayed. I didn't understand. He was praying in Bengali. I didn't know what he was saying. But when he got to the place where I figured he was saying, in the name of Jesus, we command the evil spirits to depart, I opened my eye. You would have too. Because what's supposed to happen? She's supposed to wake up. She didn't. Nothing happened. The next person prayed. Nothing happened. My turn. I thought to myself, what's wrong? We've done everything we're supposed to. We got the Bible. We've had our prayer. We did our pastoral counseling and everything else. I thought, maybe it's the words. Maybe you can't just say in the name of Jesus. You got to make the prayer long. You remember, even Mrs. White says, don't pray too long in church. You know, when you're a little child, remember the prayer just go on and on and on. But I thought, for this case, make it last. Pray along and use big words. You know, we have a vocabulary. This is a little off the subject. But where is Kevin? Is he here? He's still here? He's in the bag. Kevin, you work for the Dow Chemical, is it? Dow Corning. Anyway, your work has a vocabulary. If I could speak the vocabulary, your vocabulary, I'd be half of one, minus experience. In other words, every profession has a vocabulary. When you come to church on Sabbath, church has a vocabulary. We know how to speak it. The only problem is we don't know what it means. Isn't that true? When you use these words, you walk in the door, suddenly you got to use all these words. What we need to do is what Jesus did, and that is to speak in the language of the people so that they can understand what's being said without dumbing down the message. Anyway, I'm trying to do things right. So I'm going to do a long prayer and I'm going to use big words. And when it comes time to say, in the name of Jesus, you got to do it powerful. In the name of Jesus. Anyway, I prayed a long prayer. I used big words. And I said it forcefully. In the name of Jesus, we command the evil spirits to depart. Nothing. And at that part, son, I want to tell you this. I forgot all the deed of Buddha Pan. I forgot all the details. You know what I'm saying? This checklist. I forgot that. And I think only one other time in my life, I began to cry that the tears just rolled down my cheek. And I said, oh God, please help us. She opened up her eyes. And I reached down, took her by the hand and lifted her up. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not magic words. If with all your heart you seek it, but that's hard to do. Same as yesterday. That's our challenge. We've been praying. Listen, we have, but how to, if with all your heart, when you're thinking about whatever. Prayer's a discipline. You know, we've all had this happen to us, you know. You know, have you ever been talking to somebody? You can tell they're not listening to you. And you're talking, and then you say, you're not listening to me. You know, yeah, I mean, I don't do that very often. But you just know they're not, maybe I won't say anything, but I know they're not listening to me. And so this, I think, is the challenge. I have this challenge. You know, you got to fight it. To keep our minds fixed. And it's probably because we're not praying about relevant stuff. And you're going to hear me mention this later. Rain we need. But that may not be the most relevant thing in our life. Maybe it's getting along with your husband. But it feels better to pray about rain. Are you with me on that? If with all our hearts we talk to him about real things, and with all of our hearts say, your will be done and mean it. See what happens. What do you think?
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.